Something. There's a million pigeons waiting to be hooked on new religions. Go forth, daddy, spread your, leave your common law wife, spread the religion of the rhythm. Heard that before, that version before. I that this wonderful tune, ironic but good, that this wonderful tune should have developed new words. I have no idea who wrote it. I have no idea that you wouldn't find children singing the original words. So it gives me a funny feeling. It also brings back some wonderful memories for me. I've been a minister over, a Unitarian minister over 50 years, and Methodist minister before that. And when I was serving the church in Schenectady, New York, which is a huge, huge round sanctuary, when I was there alone, I would start playing this and just dance. Skip around. They knew I was crazy. I love it. I love it, and I'm glad, and whoever wrote the new words did so. This may have nothing to do with the subject before us, but I can't resist sharing this quote from Ashley Brilliant. And if you remember Ashley Brilliant from the 60s, he had these little quips, brilliant quips. This one is, I have abandoned my search for truth and am now looking for a good fantasy. Now, Joseph Campbell put it in a different way. He said, choose the myth that feeds your soul. Well, I found my great fantasy. It's one of the Star Trek family of shows. It's titled Star Trek Voyager. Did any of you follow this? Great. I think it was, no, it wasn't the last of them, but it's. I've been watching it now for several weeks. I've been binging on it, in fact. It's the story of a spaceship captained by Janeway, a woman of many parts. It's available on Netflix, all 4 7 seasons. And when I need to just relax and dream, I join the crew of the spaceship Voyager. Now, last Sunday, I shared with you an overview of the history of Unitarianism and in Transylvania and Universalism in the United States. And here in Pensacola, the Universalist Church, which died about 10 years before the Unitarian Fellowship, from which we are descended, was established in 1958. I warned you then of the danger of substituting nostalgia for history and urged you to celebrate our living tradition, acknowledging our imperfections, which we've been a little remiss in doing, but also celebrating the good things that our ancestors, our institutional ancestors, did with their choices in their time. As you may know, I work out at the gym, something called silver sneakers. I can see from your reaction that some of you, yes, yes. If you haven't discovered this, if you can walk, you can find a silver sneakers program that will build you up very gradually till you're a Hulk like me. One of the reasons people can't believe that I'm 87 years old is that I've kept up that exercise all these years. Anyhow, I have a t-shirt that I wear when I work out, and one of the leaders of the group had this. I don't know where it came from, and it's an answer to the question, how are you doing? And all I say is, I point to my t-shirt, which says, better than yesterday, every day. And that's my goal, that every day be just a little bit better than yesterday. And in some ways, it's likely to be. Sometimes you have to look for it, but it's there. Well, I decided to ask, what would we do as a congregation? How could we be better tomorrow? How could we be more perfect than we already are? Well, I think of seven areas in which we can be more perfect. And did the list of those seven get into your programs this morning?
Yes.
You did. Okay, good. Then I don't have to read the whole thing. I'll just tell you my take on each one. And each one of you could write a sermon, and you may be asked to do that in the not-too-distant future. But let me explain. First of all, I say we should be radically inclusive. We should continue to be radically inclusive, not excluding anyone who behaves. That's a very important, subtext, hidden text, because we have to, in order to continue to exist, we have to impose certain behavioral standards, else the rest of us would not be able to function and share our opinions. There's no stricture against any opinion. I mean, your opinion may be a minority of one, and that's okay. The minority of one has often been right in history. So we listen, but we will not take behaviors that disrespect other people and interfere with their rights to express their point of view. I think this was best expressed in the writings of a once very popular poet. His name was Edwin Markham, and he wrote a number of poems. His most famous poem is he wrote after the death of Lincoln, so you can place him historically. But he wrote this poem, which is inscribed on many of our old Universalist churches. He drew a circle to shut me out. Heretic, rebel, a thing to flout. But love and I had the wit to win. Say the rest of it with me, those of you who know it. We drew a circle that took him in. Now, took him in has gotten a sort of a different connotation these days, but you understand what he meant. So that's the first thing I would like our church to do, as we have been doing, and doing it even better. And secondly, we should be real. I read a book recently about the dangers of virtual reality and the hardware that goes with it. You don't need hardware to become immersed, lost in an illusion. You may have seen a television program recently where a school has been set up for Chinese young people who've gotten so hooked on the reality, the non-reality of games on computer that they've stopped eating, right? They don't sleep. It's a terrible disorder, and they have to be isolated from their parents and weaned off of this. But you know, it's not just the kids who are hooked on a computer screen. It's, I think, a fairly good segment of the American people who think there's something meaningful in the slogan, "Let's make America greater again." Let's make America better than it ever was before. Let's take the good things and improve on them, and let's do whatever penance is necessary for the bad things that we and our ancestors may have done. We should be real. Now, as I mentioned, I loved to escape with Catherine Janeway on the Starship, but I did a little research when I decided to speak on this subject on the more general future, the future of humanity. And I picked up this book in the library. It's a 2017 or 18 book. It's a new book. It's called The Future of Humanity by Michio Kaku, who is a professor of theoretical physics, City University of New York, co-founder of string field theory, author of several widely acclaimed science books, including Beyond Einstein, The Future of Mind, Hyperspace, Physics of the Future, and Physics of the Impossible, and so forth and so on. Unfortunately, Dr. Kaku sees our future in the stars, and this is a polemic telling us why we should be prepared to settle Mars and eventually the next star system, which is 4 light years away. That's an unreality. This is an excuse for not facing the real world with the real problems that we have. It's sophisticated, it's well-funded. My son is hooked on it. Anything that helps the space program is great. So the few survivors of the destruction of the planet by our mutual exchange of nuclear weapons, that's the usual scenario, those survivors will have a place to go. And there's all kinds of science fiction plays on this. You know, after the Earth was made unlivable, human beings survived in space or on the moon or in some planet. This is not realism. This is escapism. You know, we should be focused is the second thing. I never was a fan of Elvis Presley. I couldn't hear the words that he was saying even when I had a hearing. But he wrote something called "You Ain't Nothing But a Hound Dog." Now, I'm sure many of you know all the words to that, all 30 of them or so. But the point is, you ain't nothing but a hound dog chasing rabbits all the time, going off, following every scent, not sticking to the one scent. And that's what we need to avoid as a congregation. If we try to do everything, we end up doing nothing well. And we should be confrontive, not combative, but confrontive. Now, this is hard, but the opportunity exists almost every day here in Pensacola. A crew came by earlier this week to mow the lawn of my new neighbors on the other side, on the left-hand side. I have a good neighbor on the right-hand side. This neighbor is a good neighbor, too, but he hired somebody who's apparently an evangelical Christian who believes that it's his responsibility to make us all realize we're going to hell if we don't happen to believe the way that he believes. And I almost signed up with him to do our lawn until I saw all the slogans on his car. We need to be confrontive, but not combative. But frankly, I have no idea how to be confrontive with a person like this who scares the bejeebers out of me. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if he was carrying a handgun. And it really makes me very uncomfortable when I'm walking around in Pensacola and seeing people not in a police uniform with a holster and a gun on their side. So we better learn how to be confrontive without being combative. You know, ancients like me need to listen more and comment less. It becomes difficult when so many of our parents of children are involved in RE classes every Sunday. We need volunteers to work with Sarah Stubbs in the RE classes. And I'd like to, Sarah's not in the here with us. She's in the building, but not here. But take a little time and thank her for the wonderful job that she's doing in administering our program, recruiting teachers. It's probably the most difficult of all all of our jobs. So I would urge myself and those of a similar vintage to listen more to the parents of these beautiful children who were sitting in our front row earlier today. As a congregation, we should be visionary, but not lost in the stars. Thoreau once commented that it was okay to build castles in the air, but then it was necessary to build foundations under them. And that's true of church life as well as individual life. Thanks to the folks who created the Charitable Trust many years ago, we've been able to do many things over the last 20 years. We've turned this former funeral parlor into a great tool for our congregational life together. How many of you knew that this was a funeral parlor original? Okay, how many of you did not know that it was a funeral parlor? Well, I guess, we haven't disguised it very well, have we? Well, that's what it was, but it became a place where death was celebrated to a place where life is celebrated. It's easier to envision building improvements than to creatively imagine a future different from our past. For the last 17 years, we've operated under a strong, full-time minister. It's what we're used to, and it's what we asked Julie to do when we called her, and which she did extremely well. But that was then, and this is now. As a congregation, we voted to look for a full-time interim minister. Only a very small minority of us voted for one of the alternatives. And I was among that minority. And like all good believers in the democratic method, I will support, financially as well as personally, the decision of the majority. But we are finding that given our financial resources, getting a full-time interim minister is not easy and may not even be possible. We may need a plan B, and maybe this is a time to think outside the box. And the sixth suggestion, we should be confrontive but not combative. And this applies to our intercongregational relations as well as our relations with entities beyond our walls. Last Sunday, I disturbed some of my best friends here by changing a word in our covenant from law to prayer. Some of you are laughing. Well, it's really not laughable. It's very important to the people who are uncomfortable with that change. And it's okay. May have been out of line doing it. I don't know if we ever took a vote on adopting the version of the covenant. But it was here before I came, and it will stay as it is until the congregation votes to change the wording. What about our relations with other religious communities? How can they be non-confrontive, or rather confrontive but non-combative? I hate to admit that I've sometimes been too combative in criticizing some other religious communities in Pensacola, especially those who seem to rejoice in telling me that I and my kind are going to hell. But their exercise of their absolute right of free speech does me no harm. I do not see them as mini aggressions, popular term among some of us. I can be annoyed, but I still rejoice that I live in a country where the exercise of free speech by even the deplorables is defended. And I must defend that freedom of speech for my religious adversaries, else stop demanding it for myself. And seventh and finally, we should be financially prudent, but not miserly. A few years back, I made a decision that a memorial gift to the church should be used for purchasing a video projector rather than going into the charitable trusts. That's what hangs over us now. There were some hard feelings, but I think I made the right decision. There's an inevitable tension between the two perspectives. The great temptation when one finds oneself in the minority is to reduce one's contribution. I hope none of you have ever done that, and that none of you will ever do it in the future. Our commitment to the democratic method does not mean, as it does in politics, that a vote of 50% plus one wins all. Loser takes the leavings. And I was delighted to see us using, in the last election we had in this congregation, an Australian method, which was created a century ago. As some of you know, I spent a summer as minister of the Unitarian Church in Adelaide, Australia. And one of their most famous members in the past was very involved in devising what later became the Australian method of voting. And it's what we used. You give your first and second choices as well. And if there's not, and that is taken into account when the votes are counted. And it gives a much better notion of the will of the group. So we should not be dedicated to democracy as in the political sense, but we should be dedicated to democracy in the sense that we seek to do the will of the people. We keep working until we get as good a nearer consensus as we can, instead of getting to a 51% vote and then saying, well, that's the way we're going. Well, that's really all I have to say on topic this morning, but we have time for a talk back, and I encourage you to do that just now. What is your vision for the future of this, the Unitarian Universalist Congregation of Pensacola, Florida? And we have a movable bike, a movable mic. Yeah.
This name work, if we turn it on. Oh, it's not that movable, is it?
Yes, yeah, so I can use it.
Okay.
But it's like, they're trying to get
this
one.
This has been on now? Let's see, I think there's a on off that one.
Can we make this mic live?
Oh, he's got to turn it on then?
Yeah.
They're working on it.
Okay, thank you.
They're working on it.
A little novice would be good next time.
Okay. Okay, that mic is live, so would
this
you...
This one is live?
Yeah.
Okay. Any pulse? You may have to meet me halfway.
Good morning.
Is it working? You need to turn up the mic.
I can talk really loud.
No, you can't.
Check one. Check 1, 2.
And we go back and forth between Baton Rouge and here. And we go to the Unitarian Church in Baton Rouge. I also go to Methodist Church, so Sunday I go twice.
I'm very
glad
you
just... please use the microphone. People with hearing aids cannot hear you. It's still not on.
Okay. All right. Well, I can hold it if it comes on. There it is.
Ah.
Okay.
Oh. We got it. We got it.
It's a miracle. One thing I haven't really heard talked about in the few times that we've been here is how to recruit more members. I don't know if that's a goal. I imagine that it would be if you want more money. It sounds materialistic, but I mean, the goal of going to church is not to get more money, but it's hard to have a budget if you don't have people tithing. So I'm just wondering if there's a plan or if there's any discussion on how to get more people here. One thought I had was just visually, the sign is not out in the street enough. If people don't know you're here, they can't come, you know, so I'm just wondering if there's ways, like maybe to put an ad in a local paper, a small ad, you know, the Unitarian Church welcomes you, something just to let people know that you're here.
There is a weekly announcement in the newspaper. Yeah, but you're right. I think we do more, need to more, make ourselves more visible.
You're going to have to come over a little bit.
There is a hospitality
There is a membership committee. I'm co-chair, as is Laura Keith King. There is a hospitality team, and the hospitality team does a lot of stuff that's kind of behind the scenes, but we welcome new members. If you want to join, I can add your name to the group list, and you can be in on the conversations. And you are right about the sign. It's been a long-standing concern of many, and we've intentionally deferred doing some stuff to it because of the construction. And the other concern, of course, is it's a very expensive proposition. But yes, there is a hospitality team, and we welcome people with new ideas, and we don't have a meeting scheduled yet, but we do a lot of correspondence by email, and that's kind of online discussions.
Yeah. Those of you who are new may not know that you can pick up an old-fashioned hard copy of the membership book, and in the front of that membership book, the list, members and friends, not all members, members and friends, is a list of the task forces, and we encourage everybody, all our members and friends, to participate in that. And if that task force has not had a meeting recently, call it, appoint yourself convener.
Here.
Here comes someone back.
Well, there's someone right here.
Dolly, you want to go first?
Let's not fight, children. One of my concerns has long been recruitment. I mean, not recruitment, which is also a concern, but retention, which is a great concern. And I think as we lose people and lose the people that we gain, it isn't working as well as if we would actively try to figure out why we lose people. And having been here 35 years and having watched the exodus over the years, one of the things that I've seen is that some of the people, not all, but some of the people that we've lost have been more on the humanist, agnostic, atheist side of things as we have become more traditional in our approach and particularly in our style here. I also think that in terms of recruitment, we're missing a golden opportunity to reach out into the community far more of the people from that perspective. That's the group that isn't already entrenched in other churches, and that the university and the college would be two good places to look there.
Well, I'll try not to comment on everybody else, but I ran a radio show in Detroit for many years, and I had that switch that I could turn off. We don't have such a switch here, so be cautious and cheerful and careful.
I don't think we should approach this as if we were a business. We shouldn't approach this as trying to recruit people or retain people. Well, if we want to get the word out, if we want more people to come, then let's do it by actions, not advertisement. You want more people to come? Show them home the actual values of this church. And no, I think this is a church, but we're not Jehovah's Witnesses. We're not going to knock on everyone's door and say, become Unitarian. What we should embrace as Gnostic spirituality. I believe that this is a place for spirituality. It is, but it's also unique in the fact that it's a place for universal spirituality, that it's not a place for any specific religion. And I think we need, if you really want more people to come, if you really want to retain more people, well, then we need to focus on practicing what we preach. We need to do soup kitchens. We need to do blanket drives. We need to go out to places and help the poor and the needy. We need to help orchestrate protests for civil rights. Don't advertise. We're not a business. Act.
Amen. I really haven't kept track of who's first and who's second and third and so forth. But it seems to me that we had a number of visitors this morning, and some of the visitors were from other congregations. They're down here. Why anyone would come here in the summer, I don't know. But we were very happy to have you. But some of the people here are here for the first time, and are not visitors, not sweatbirds, whatever you'd call it. And I'd like one of them to volunteer, someone who's here maybe for the first time, but didn't come because they're members somewhere else. Anybody in that category? Yes.
Hi, guys. I didn't talk much before, and I only actually came to Tampa CU for my mom for the social aspect, and I'm definitely, like, right on. I didn't catch his name, but that's my one thing that's, I think, is missing from the younger group and, like, people like myself is we want to see action. We want to do more in the community. Like, we don't want to talk about it. We want to be about it. So I love what he just said, and that I would, because I just graduated med school, so I'm about to start residency in family medicine. So I would love to do more, like, anything, first aid or, you know, soup kitchens, work with the community. And my mom and I, just real quickly, I started a big resource list in Tampa for all of the medical, the free clinics, the sliding scale clinics, like the social work, and we're trying to get a list together now because the homeless population here is insane. Like, and especially the veteran population and everything. So if people know stuff, you know, we could have all these various collaborations and just bring resources and then also show up in the community. Like, the Pride is an awesome thing. Sorry, I'm getting very public speaking. But yes, so yes, I think for younger generation, I would love to show up and be part of the face and, you know, have people come too. So, Autumn. Yeah, from my mom. Born the first day of Autumn.
I haven't scolded you yet for not wearing your name tags.
But she's new. She didn't know. We got her at 9:15.
Okay. All right. If you try hard, because it's during social hours that we get to talk to each other and get to know each other. And if we know the names, then we can feel comfortable.
Hi, I'm Deborah. I just have one quick thing to say. One, if you do want actions, we are doing the Pride Fest next weekend, and Paula asked, since she couldn't be here today, that I take point on that today. So if you want to volunteer, you have something you want to do, please see me after the service. And the other thing is, to response to Dolly's comment, is that not all of us are welcome at all the other churches, but yet still want some spirituality in our lives. And so I would like people to keep that in mind, because as the LGBTQ community, we're not welcome. So.
Next. I always forget the collection. One suggestion I dared not put in is that the second church I served, Second Unitarian Church I served, took no collections. They were enthusiastically anti-church. They still do not use the word church or even fellowship. They are the Society of Schenectady, the Unitarian Society of Schenectady. We really should support ourselves as a congregation by pledging and stick. I'm not going to give another sermon, but we now will receive the morning offering.